Hello again, Logan.
All right, if you could have a seat. Since we have a guest speaker, I told John I wouldn't make him reorganize the crowd after our after our greeting time. So it's such an honor for us to have John and Susie Lehman here with us this weekend for the Marriage and Parenting Conference. They hail from the East Coast. John has been a pastor for over 30 years, retired now, and a couple years ago began seeking to finish the race, working full-time, which means at least 6 months out of the year, traveling all over the world, encouraging and challenging. And he's been doing that this weekend, specifically related to parenting. He's lots of experience as a pastor and biblical counselor. He actually helped train Pastor Bert as Bert completed his biblical counseling certification. And so if you'd give a warm welcome to John.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Well, you all have just been a wonderful congregation, and the opportunity of teaching has been very sweet. You all definitely know how to welcome, and you know how to eat. I'm telling you what, that was just a wonderful experience. I think one of you said yesterday, when you get home, you need to weigh yourself and see if you gained any weight. But pastor's allowed me to use his bike to try to do some conditioning, and I got to swim in your aquatic center the other day, and this evening I think we're going to try to compete in some pickleball, so I'm trying to work off those pounds before I get back. But thank you, and I want to just, of course, continue on with this weekend. This is, in a sense, the sixth session, and it really, in a sense, Lord willing, will help tie everything together. At the same time, it is a standalone session. So hopefully, if you weren't here for the first five, which is understandable and okay, you'll take away this session, this service, this worship time, and really apply it to your life. I also know I'm in a tough situation right now because Pastor has put me in between lunch. And so depending on how long I go, depends on how soon you get to lunch. So that's a little tough spot there to be in. But no, it's really not. You have this very well organized, and you've been just wonderful to us. So let me continue now with our words fitly spoken, and we'll finish out the topic. As he said, my wife and I have been serving the Lord. It's been a joy being with you this weekend of your marriage and family retreat. Your ministry here is a blessing, and I look forward to how the Lord's going to use you all for his glory and the good of your folks here in Shadron. I had to make sure I said it correctly. At the end of 2023, as Pastor mentioned, I retired from full-time pastoring in Greenville, and since 2024, we've been involved in Words Fitly Spoken, a local and global itinerant ministry helping others in teaching and preaching. Susie and I are in our 44th year of marriage and ministry. We both graduated from high school in 1977. As looking at this crowd, a lot of you weren't even around. And then 6 months later at Bob Jones University, we met. We dated for 3.5 years and got married in June of 1981. We both enjoy skiing together, riding two up on a motorcycle, and as well as going on mission trips, which in turn has helped us begin this on a full-time basis. The Lord has blessed us with 4 grown and married children and 14 grandchildren. What is something that we do a lot of, besides eating? What is something we do a lot of? Talk. I even noticed as soon as Pastor said, let's greet each other, whew, right away, the volume level rose, and that's awesome. And then, as I appreciate, he came up and curtailed the crowd so that we could continue on with our time. But words do mean something. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can get lazy or calloused to the words we use. And when we do, we can leave hurts and wounds like we really never meant to. If we're careful, we can leave encouragement and empowering words that will linger with who heard our conversation, that will lift their spirits. This morning, This morning we're going to be looking at, got to keep this thing going. I'm better at preaching than technology, but Brandon's going to help me out, I can tell. What is something we do a lot? We talk. This morning, Proverbs 25:11 says, a word that is fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Remember why Solomon was written? As he said in verses 1 through 7 of chapter 1, to receive correction and prudence, to give discretion to the simple, and knowledge and understanding to the young, to help the wise increase in knowledge and understanding, and to promote the fear of the Lord as the foundation of knowledge. Think about Solomon for a moment. Remember, he was the one who was given the task to build the temple, since David, his father, was not permitted to. Early in Solomon's reign, God was giving a gift to him, and he said, what would you like me to give you? Solomon could have chose anything he wanted to. Of course, we all know the story. He chose wisdom. And as a result of that, God in turn gave him fame and fortune. Now, with fame and fortune, often you have people wanting to come and visit. Now, this beautiful countryside that you have here, I can see why people love to come and visit. And as a result of coming and visiting, you notice the surroundings. Well, in Solomon's case, he is so wise that it begins to get out around his community. In fact, the first noted reason he was wise was because these two women, living in an improper lifestyle, each had a baby. One rolled over onto her baby and smothered it. So now two women with one baby. They bring this baby to Solomon and they say, it's my baby. And the other woman says, it's my baby. Solomon, of course, in his wisdom says, I got the solution. And you know the answer too. Someone go get a sword. I'm going to cut this baby in half, and each woman gets half the child. Well, of course, right away, the mom said, no, give it to her. That's fine. And Solomon recognized that was who the true mom was. So that wisdom then began to spread. Not only was he smart, he began to accrue wealth, but then that fame began to go, and people started to hear about this. So not only was he wise, not only was he famous, not only was he able to have people come visit him, but because of that, people wanted to say, hey, I'm going to go see this man, and I'm going to bring him a gift. That's what you typically do in this culture. So this proverb that we're going to talk about today came about as a result of a gift that could have been given to Solomon from one of the dignitaries who visited him. If you've read Proverbs, and I know you have, you've been taught it, each verse is, in a sense, its own sermon. And there's not a lot of explanation in between the verses. So there are people that are called historians that have done some commentating work, and they have surmised that this may be what happened. Nonetheless, the Bible is inspired, and the verse is there for us to read. So what you read there, the word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver or a platter of silver. The gift was original to the culture, and it was like a silver-woven style exterior or netting or basket or platter or bowl with golden balls or golden apples inside. It evidently was silver, it was stated in the verse. It had golden balls or golden apples in this case, apples of gold and settings of silver. And when Solomon saw this gift, this specific gift, or this idea of a gift, he said, a word that's fitly spoken is like this gift. It's a gift. And we need to think about our words as gifts. So I'd like to share that today as we think about that. Let's break down each one of these words in Proverbs 25:11. He starts out by saying a word. So what is a word? It is a single, distinct, meaningful element of speech or writing used with others to form a sentence for communication of thoughts, intents, or meaning. A word is a sound or combination of sounds that has meaning, and it's spoken by a human being. Words can be used to give a command or a signal to begin something. Words can be used so that they are convincing or stop. They can express agreement or disagreement. The meanings of words crystallizes perceptions that shape our beliefs, drive our behavior, and ultimately correct and create our world. Words are used for counsel or instruction or encouragement or reproof or disapproval or disagreement, and so on and so forth. So a word that is fitly spoken, it is well suited to the occasion, well suited to one's character, well timed, and it's said in a proper manner, or a certain place, or a certain time. This word fitly was first used in the 1500s, and I saw earlier that it was used a lot until about the mid-1800s. People don't use that word very often. It can be compared to how clothes fit you. You like them just right, don't you? In the shoulders and the arms, around the waist, all of that goes into it is fitly worn. And then he goes on to the next word. He says it is spoken. Well, when you speak something, it needs to be well-timed, well-spirited, well-expressed. And what makes a word effective is that it is used. You can think a word and it doesn't really do anything for anybody else. Sometimes it's actually best not to think. not to say what you're thinking. But to speak a word, a spoken word, means that it will be uttered for others to hear, which in turn communicates something to them. A spoken word is either face-to-face, or in our day and age, it can be remotely, like a phone call or WhatsApp or a voice message, whatever it might be, but it's a spoken word. And then he goes into this comparison. He says, is like apples of gold. So now he compares it to something. A word that's fitly spoken is like apples of gold. And he compares it to something that they can understand. When we've been on mission trips or with folks whom we are helping to teach English to, or they're having that as their second language, words are often used as a comparison to something. For example, in our context here, someone asked the question during the conference, what can a church do to help young couples in their marriages? Or what can a church do in helping parents with their children? Well, I said, for example, in our context, equipping the saints in your church is like offering a marriage and family retreat. It's like having a follow-up with a parenting seminar or parenting classes. Selflessness is Brother Randy offering us to use his truck while we're here. Helpfulness is like Pastor Bert arranging this conference, organizing our stay and making sure we are well cared for while we're here. Hospitality is like Pastor Sam and Liz inviting us to their home for dinner. So is like is the example he's using. So Solomon is now comparing or illustrating what a word fitly spoken is like. He said it's like apples of gold. The gift he received was something that was round like fruit or an apple. And he was sharing that the gold made it even more valuable than just an apple. This was a gift more than likely from a dignitary, someone who's coming to visit. And it was going to be exquisite to show not only how valued Solomon was, but how, in a sense, wealthy or how important they could have been. You know what it's like when you visit your family and friends. You spend some time making sure the gift you give them is just right, which shows them how valuable they are. And that's what this occurred. This is how this occurred. And then it says, in a setting of silver or a basket of silver or a platter of silver, he sets or frames the apples of gold in just a setting, almost like you would set a diamond ring on black velvet. It makes it no much more appealing. These apples were chiseled or framed vessels of open worked silver. The setting of the silver was in stark contrast to the gold, so it looked, in a sense, extra exquisite. Two of the most precious metals combined together. And so he sees this as a gift. Well, think about gifts that we give. Let's say you wanted a green sweater. And all you tell someone is, I want a green sweater. Well, someone gives it to you, but it's dark green, and you wanted hunter green. It's an extra large, but you needed a medium. It's a V-neck, and you wanted buttons. It was purchased from the thrift store, so it wasn't an Izod. That's the kind of gift we re-gift. You get it and you give it to somebody else. But if it was your color green, your correct size, the right design, the right name brand, you'd wear it and the elbows out. A careless or sarcastic word can be like that ugly sweater, while an appropriate and properly timed word, compliment, or even rebuke can be attractive and valuable like the sweater you really wanted. Gold apples set against a silver sculpture or carving, words can be used like a picture. So in this context, let's now see not just what the words meant, but let's see how we're supposed to use our words. Well, first of all, they need to be well-timed. Timing is critical when we speak. We need to take into consideration whom we're speaking to, our spouse, our child, our boss, our friends. Then we need to determine their frame of mind. Are they busy? Are they relaxed? Are they already doing something? Or is their attention focused on you to receive that word? Is this a good time of day or night for them? Are you in the right frame of mind to share so that they hear and understand what you're saying? Well-timed would be speaking thoughtfully, attuned to the moment, respective of the context and their emotion, and guided by wisdom and love. I can tell if we say this too much longer, you're going to quit talking. No, we want to speak it the correct way. And then he says, well-suited, you would say well-suited to the occasion. What occasion are you speaking to them? It's different to talk at a ball game versus a birthday party. Are you talking in the morning and they're not a morning person? Are you talking to them late at night and they're not a night person? Are you talking to someone when they're hungry, when they're running late, when they're consumed with another project? In this restriction, you want to make sure your words, your tone, and your style are appropriate, thoughtful, and geared toward a specific context or moment. And then our words need to be well expressed. Expression when stating. Think of how others perceive what you're saying. Are you scowling when you say, it's nice to see you? You said the right words, but a context of tone or facial expression changes it. The tone of voice, monotone, or exciting. Ask someone how something is and they say, not bad, or that was great. You said two different things. So what makes you feel the best? As the golden rule says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, then express yourself to others like you would like to be expressed to. Well-spirited, the attitude during the statement. Esteem others better than yourself. Speaking to someone with energy and enthusiasm goes a long way in making them feel respected, loved, appreciated, and well answered. Or if you're lethargic or uncaring, it can very easily make them feel slighted or even agitated. And then is it well suited to their character? You know who you're talking to. The temperament of the person to whom you're speaking makes a huge difference in how you respond and how they respond. We should evaluate how the other person is going to receive our words. Will our words encourage or discourage? Will they motivate or will they harm? Will they calm or will they agitate? So a word that's fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. They are gifts. And we want to now consider how our words should be used as we give gifts. I'd like to read a few verses from Scripture. We've talked about Proverbs 25:11. Matthew 22:37-39 is, of course, what we often refer to as the golden rule. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your might. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Think about that when you speak. Am I loving God so much that I'm sharing with this individual ways that will enhance the relationship with him? And then think about our words, thinking about we are to love our neighbor like we love ourselves, and treating them like we would like to be treated. And then Ephesians 4, several other passages, a set of verses, verses 25 to 32. Wherefore, this is all about speaking, put away lying. Every man speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, but don't sin. Now, if you do, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, so take care of it before your head hits the pillow. Neither give place to the devil. Don't let the devil get into how we talk. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Only say what will build up. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. In everything and anything we say, would this bring glory to him or not? And then he goes on, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. One of the best ways to put that away from you is what he says in verse 32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Then in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The golden rule is mimicked in Luke 6:31. He says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And finally, Hebrews, not the message is done yet, but just final set of verses. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let us consider how to stir one another to love and to good works. So I'm supposed to help you. You're supposed to help others to love and to good works. So let's use these passages now and let's consider our gifts that we give to others. The following should be ones we implement as we consider if our words are fitly spoken. Now, of course, I realize I'm the one that put the message together, so you might want to put in different verses. That's fine. But follow God's word, and I think it'll make a huge difference in what you do. These would be words that would be fitly spoken. Let's consider these. First of all, in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, God says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So, you want to uplift, inspire, or give hope. Some examples. I'm sorry you're going through this tough situation, but what a blessing to know that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. That would be an opportunity to encourage somebody. Or, I'm actually not sure what difficulty you're going through, but I'll pray for you, and I'm available anytime you want to discuss this dilemma. Be encouraging. Use tender words. Be kind to one another, from Ephesians 4:32. Tender-hearted. You want the person you're speaking to know you feel their pain. I'm sorry you're hurting, and I'm praying for you during this tough time. In a discussion, we talked about marriage and family. I know we're not seeing things eye to eye right now, but I want you to know that I love you, and I want to work this out. Kind words from Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. You want the other person to know that you are there to be a friend, that you'll support them no matter what. I really appreciate your personality and your talents, or thanks for always being there to help me when I'm in need. Be kind. Be loving. A new commandment I give to you, John 13:34-35, that you love one another. God wants us to love like he loved us, unconditionally. Example, I love how you help others and how you do your very best in all things. I love you even if you don't think I do. Parent to a child, perhaps. Empowering words from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You want to help someone be better because of your presence. Example, if God says you can do all things, then you can do this hard thing that is before you. Or you can do this, as God says, you will reap if you faint not. Keep on keeping on. Affirmative words. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up. Life is hard, but helping others feel valued is a wonderful gift. Example, I love your spirit, and I believe that with God's help, you can overcome anything. Or with God's help, you can do whatever you put your mind to. Thankful words. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's similar to being grateful, but it's different in that it is about the moment. Example, I'm thankful you're here. And although this is a tough time, you are valued. Example, as God knows my heart, as Paul said about the church in Philippi, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Forgiving words, Ephesians 4:32. Forgiving one another as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. No matter how mad or hurt, you can never forgive any better than Christ. I am hurt, example, but I know God wants me to forgive you like he forgave me. Or I know you made a mistake. I feel badly about it. But now that it's forgiven, let's continue being rightly related for God's glory. Prayerful words. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Helping others know you are praying for them. One of the greatest church ministries you can ever have is to pray for the person in front of and or behind you and consistently do that. You add volume to their prayer life. As you think about prayerful words, as God said, with men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Peaceful words. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Not being concerned about getting your way. In other words, how can I help make this right between us? Or what can I do to help you find peace in this situation? Patient words. Let every person, according to James 1:19, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Helping the other person know that any time God can intervene and help this situation work out. Example, I'm here to tell you that by giving you this situation, we're going to see God's hand at work, since we know that all things work together for him, all things work together for good to them who love him. Or, it's okay that you harmed me and that our relationship right now is suffering. But let's keep following God's word as we restore our relationship. Grateful words, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. No matter what's going on, thank God. I know this situation is tough, but I'm thankful that God is going through this with you. Or with us. Or I'm thankful you're in my life, even though we're having some tough things that we're working through. Be grateful. Be humble. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than you are. Helping the other person know they are important by you denying your rights. In other words, I'm so impressed with your abilities. You are so much better than me in so many things. Or, I believe that you can do all things through for God's glory and the good of others. And then finally, gentle words. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. You've noticed this, I'm sure, but as voices raise, your conversational tone goes up. God says, no, let's do a soft answer. In other words, I'm sorry you feel that way, and I'm sorry you're here, you're hurting, but I'm here to let you know I love you no matter what. I know you're angry and you're hurt by me. I'm here to do whatever I need to restore this relationship. We've gone through a list of examples. It's also in your handout. It was in the bulletin there. I would encourage you to evaluate, not your neighbor, not your spouse, not your children, but evaluate you. How are you doing with your words that are spoken? We all speak. Are your words fitly spoken? And I'm sure that you strive with all your might to speak words that are fitly spoken. But because we're sinners by birth and by choice, it's easy sometimes not to remember all these gifts we should be giving. And I would encourage you, what kind of gifts are you giving with your words? Gifts can be expensive. You have to spend time looking up what kind of gifts that person wants. You have to spend time to purchase them, make sure they're the right size and the right color and the right name brand. You must make sure they don't already have that gift. But typically, aren't we excited when we give gifts? We love to see what that other person gets to open. The Bible shares in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We all know how we'd like to be spoken to. God says in Matthew 7:12, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. So let me encourage you to consider your words as gifts. Spend time choosing the right ones, like you do when you purchase gifts. Spend time considering how the other person responds to your word, to your personality, and then proceed with your spoken words to them and there in the same way, making sure they would really like to receive your words. I would encourage Ridgeview to leave today, to commit today to using words that are fitly spoken. And I believe you'll bring glory to God and good to each other. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that today we would be mindful of your word and how it is speaking to each one of our hearts in different ways, undoubtedly. But help us to listen to what it says and to do according to your word. And we'll thank you now for that in Jesus' name. Amen.